Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Hello. Welcome. Come on in. Grab a seat or keep walking, whatever. Stand. Whatever's comfortable. Sit. If you're driving, don't stand up. I'm Jesse. This is Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Way up here in the clouds today. It's pouring rain. That happens sometimes out here. Nice and refreshing, but sure does slow the traffic down, doesn't it? Today on the show, I am excited to be able to play a couple interviews recorded by Public Affairs Department Work Study William. One of them with an up-and-coming multimedia artist, and another with Noel from the Simon Fraser Public Research Interest Group, SFPIRG, or the PIRG, as we refer to them colloquially. And also, as usual, just a little bit of music to tie everything together. And we are, of course, going to get started with some local music. I, as you may know, host another program here on CJSF called the Vancouver Mixtape on Sunday nights with my good friend and co-host Jamie. And we do a run through of all the latest and greatest in Vancouver's independent music scene. And in doing prep for that episode, I discovered a new album by a band that is new to me called Smush. They appear to be new generally. Their first release on Bandcamp is from April 2024, at least. But this record is recorded at the Noise Floor Studios on Gabriola Island, which, if you are a regular listener to this program or just knowledgeable about Vancouver area music, you'll know that the Noise Floor is renowned for its great heavy sound and the great work of Jordan Koop down there. Anyway, we're going to hear a track by Smush, which is great sort of 90s shoegaze-inspired music, with a track called Lizzie McGuire, which is also looking backwards. I guess Lizzie McGuire is more early 2000s than 90s, but we'll stick with it. Anyway, this is Lizzie McGuire by Smush on CJSF.
Thank you.
Lizzie McGuire by Smush from the new record, If You Were Here, I'd Be Home Now. Great record, which has a bunch of tracks like that and some sort of sample-y electronic synthesizer-y interludes, drawing a lot from My Bloody Valentine and other bands of the era. Great stuff. Yeah, the sort of poppy hooks on top of heavy distorted guitars, right up my alley. Hopefully you enjoyed that as well. And now we're gonna move on to the first interview that CJSF Work Study William produced. Did the research, wrote the questions, asked the questions, edited, etc. So we are going to start with his interview with artist Vin Quadra, and they do a great job setting everything up. So I will just let William and Vin take it from here, and I'll talk to you after.
All right, so hi, this is William Hofsig with CJSF Speak Up, and today I'm with my friend, Vin Quadra. A little bit about yourself, please.
Hi there, my name is Vin Quadra. I am an emerging artist from Kwantlen Polytechnic University, studying under Bachelor of Visual Arts with a minor in Anthropology. I am a neurodivergent queer artist specializing in photography and new media. I am also a board member of the Ford Gallery and a member of the Langley Arts Council and the Kwantlen Art Collective at KPU.
Excellent. And you say your areas of expertise are new media and photo design. What really kind of sparked that passion for you?
First of all, like, I didn't even get into art that much when I was young. As a neurodivergent person myself, I had struggled with, like, my fine motor skills.
Totally relate there.
Yeah, definitely. And I would usually, like, look up to, like, artists, like, from, like, Filipino Catholic art to, like, Renaissance art to, like, see if I can match their level. But, like, thing is, like, you know, I was a little too young to, like, develop those skills anyway. So, like, I had that mindset, like, my art is not that good. And I felt, like, basically I couldn't even express myself out. But once I figured out photography back in grade 7 through, like, a group project, I felt like I had that passion and within me as well.
Yeah.
And I got introduced into Photoshop at around, like, grade 9. For a few projects, and I felt like it really suited my level four art for me.
Were there any, like, creators in general that, like, really helped exacerbate that passion for you? Because it seems like you looked up to a lot of
people
in your youth, but it mostly became, like, your personal vehicle, if that makes sense.
Exactly. I would say mostly, like, my surroundings around, like, my Catholic upbringing as well. Like, I've been seeing a lot of images of, like, sacred figures and idols, for example. And I have like, relatives from the Philippines that were working in the movie industry as lighting directors.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I basically understood how would, like, the lighting setup go as well. And it was, like, a subconscious feeling for me when I found that spark.
That's actually fantastic. Like, I can tell you're an artist, of course, because
that's going
to give you some very vivid imagery to go with that. And you say, like, you grew up in the Philippines, and
yes.
when you immigrated to Canada, how old were you?
I was around 7 years old.
How was that like for you? How do you think it's, like, had lasting effects on, like, you, how you've grown as a person? Like,
yes, it did, actually. Mm. I've grown assimilated to, like, Canadian culture, but yet I still uphold, like, my Filipino traditions and values as well.
Mm.
However, whenever it comes to religion in Canada, like, the imagery itself, it feels a little too minimalistic, and I felt like I was a bit disconnected as well, and, like, the people as well. Like, I've been used to, like, talking to a lot of, like, Filipino people, even back in high school as well, in, like, elementary,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of felt like a bit more disconnected with, like, the outside world just a bit. But now, look at me, I'm just, like, basically trying to be multicultural as I am, and I'm trying to, like, include many people despite their, like, ethnicity or whatever, and I feel like I'm basically belong to like a lot of people anyways.
Yeah, it's like you got a different face for everybody.
I have a different face for everybody anyways.
And I can kind of definitely agree there about like wearing a face for different people.
Exactly.
And, I think there's something that's so satisfying about kind of integrating those faces into like the perfect whole, so people really see the real you. And I guess that's kind of what, is that something you're trying to channel in your art? Like, what would you say is a piece of yours that really, I think, encapsulates who you are as a person?
There was this one. Oh, that's a really good question, actually. So there's a few pieces that relate to like my religion. For example, there I did like a piece where I basically use like images of like the crucifix.
Oh, wow.
I know, it's very interesting. And it's like I took him with like a Polaroid and I based him on like David Hockney like joiners to like represent my own Catholic and Christian upbringing, as well as there's this one AI generated video that I made since I'm a new media artist, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah,
yeah, there was this one AI generated video that I created with like Stalgan and like with Midjourney as well to convey like how I how like even myself and everyone perceives Jesus as well, because it is a very visual, ambiguous, anthropological perspective that people still debate upon.
Yes, like even beyond Jesus Christ, like, there's still so much debate. Even today, I was listening to a friend's radio show, and they were talking about this religious holiday in China and how a lot of people interpret it as being celebrating the death of someone who was so fervently devoted to his culture, but then there are others who think it was he loved the emperor, and so like, there's the people who interpret it through like a political lens, people who interpret it through sexual lens, a religious lens, and I don't know, I just think that's something really interesting you can see in modern art, like
exactly.
The constant interpretation of different of the same idea, but different in different way angles.
Yeah, I get that as well.
As a Catholic, as a Christian, like that's a huge tentpole of your character, your person. But you've also sort of like prefaced this interview with the fact that you identify as a queer person. And personally, I, even as someone who is fairly irreligious but has like educated themselves on the Bible, I think that it's very possible to reconcile both a queer identity and a Christian identity.
It is.
But there's a lot of discourse around, like, especially from the more conservative portion of the church. And I'm just wondering, like, what's your take on that? What is the way you've kind of like reconciled it with yourself? Like, any key moments in your life that made you think that yes, I can reconcile this here?
That's a really good question, actually. Like, back when I was in high school, I was still figuring out what my sexuality is. And once I came out as, like, bisexual, or rather queer, and, like, an umbrella term, that's where I, like, found, like, Jesus as well.
Ironically. Oh, wow.
It is.
That's interesting,
like,
yeah.
In a more conservative lens. However, like, when I was, like, attending this one church, I just felt very disconnected because not only that I spoke English as exclusively, or like a bit of like Tagalog, it's like basically I didn't even fit in with the individuals at all. It's because like they were like growing up with like a more Filipino traditional mindset rather than like a mindset like me where I could like see different perspectives as well. That's where I felt like a very very huge disconnection within myself. And then there was this one time that I had to cut someone off because he was like really questioning about how I view my sexual identity as a queer person. And it felt like at that point I'm just identified as like both Catholic and Christian with like a queer individual with a queer mindset as well. It feels like for me it's like let me just try to think about this.
Take your time.
Yeah. It feels like I'm fine being both Catholic and Christian with a like, queer identity, but the thing is, like, you know there's gonna be a lot of people out there who's gonna like judge you anyways, but like at the end of the day, it's only up to you. You can judge yourself and like who you perceive as, is this by your religion or sexuality?
Yeah, and so much of, I think, where a lot of like modern Christian discourse fails to like grab people is
exactly.
The fact that it shouldn't be about your relationship with the church. It should be about your relationship with God. I mean, actually, exactly. Maybe that's kind of wrong to say, because, like, obviously, the church is a huge foundation for someone's identity, for someone's relationship with mm-hmm. Christ. But I think at the end of the day, it comes down to, like, you having a dialogue with yourself and seeing what I think what religious tradition, whether it be Christianity, Judaism, Islam, or like any other possible tradition, like, brings into your life. And
I get that
for you, right? Like, that's it's given you community and given you, like, artistic inspiration.
It really did.
And yeah, any more, like, left field inspiration? Like, I've obviously, like, we've obviously hung out a lot, so, like,
yes, exactly.
you're a big gamer too, right? And then you love music as well.
I love music as well.
Yeah, like, it's kind of an odd, because you're a visual artist, but, like,
yes.
Do you have any, like, music artists or games that, like, kind
that
of
inspire me,
that kind of inspire you as well? On a lighter note, of course.
Yeah, exactly, of course.
A bit, yeah.
So, I've been, like, very influenced by a lot of, like, electronic artists such as Porter Robinson,
mm-hmm.
Madion, and recently Misogi, because, like, they have, like, helped me
yes.
to find, like, my art style a lot, and, like, because, like, they
actually check that album out if you recommend it. It's pretty good. I enjoy
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I love it as well.
I should give it another shot. I clicked with it, but I feel like there's still more to unravel. Like,
exactly.
That's a lot of the appeal of electronic music. Like, it really takes you some time to, like, work out every bit and piece of the recording. Kind of like classical in a certain way.
Exactly.
Or jazz. Like, yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. But
nah, don't worry about it anyways, actually. So, to continue forward, they have, like, helped me to... They really focus on, like, the idea of living between the lines of, like, digitality and reality. I don't know if digitality does work, but, like, it could be, right?
I get what you mean. Like,
the digital,
comparison piece.
Like a digital life and
it's like
reality.
The ideal and the real, kind of.
Ideal and the real, basically. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, for me, I've been, like, living through this identity of, like, what's real or what's not. What's either going in my head, what's either going outside of my surroundings. It is, like, basically for me, it's, like, it's how, like, I kind of, like, developed as an artist as well, like, trying to, like, describe how I feel inside within, like, more of my surroundings as well,
mm-hmm.
even in, like, a anthropological context, because when I was young, I would watch a lot of, like, YouTube videos, like, documentaries of, like, certain cultures, groups, or whatsoever.
Any, like, specific names that really kind of, like, reach out to you, or is it, like, too far back to remember?
It's too far back to remember, mm-hmm. but I clearly remember that I kind of got more into art because of, like, Pacific indigenous art.
Oh.
Yeah, so, like, Coast Salish art, because, like, I remember seeing those totem poles back in YVR before they were, like, renovated,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of, like, subconsciously made me think that would lead me to, like, becoming, like, a visual artist with a minor in anthropology and KP.
Right, yeah. Is it, how's that been going? Because something that's really impressive, I'm sorry I missed your display, but, like, being, like, the only non-graduated, like, student to have their work on display at
mm-hmm.
New West Art Gallery. Is that, that's the name
no,
of the place?
No, that's,
right?
Like, art, it's called I Heart New West Gallery.
Yes. All right, excellent, yeah. So, like, is there a bit of, like, imposter syndrome? Or, because, like, that's really impressive.
Honestly, when I applied for that show, it was, like, a free for to get all or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically applied for it anyways, and I was, like, the only, like, non-graduate artist at that time, but, like, there were, like, a few more artists, so I didn't even feel alone.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so basically it kind of felt a bit honored that I was, like, just playing with the art with, like, a few fellow acquaintances, or rather graduates.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, I know, that's something. Any, like, other artists you'd, like, be willing to shout out that you spent time with too? Like any other pieces of work there that kind of grabbed you from your colleagues, or you don't even have to name names, like, just some themes that really spoke to you in the art on display, if that makes sense.
There was, like, this one artwork where she was talking about, like, where this artist was talking about, like, a female Filipino rage. Actually, it was a very interesting concept.
Rage?
Yeah,
interesting.
It is feminine Filipino rage.
Mm.
It was, like, based all around this concept of, like, pare-pares, or, like, something around those lines. I'll have to, like, remember the word anyways. So it was just, like, this one girl who was, like, destroying, like, some type of, like, sculpture, and then, like, it was, like, it kind of was supposed to, like, represent, like, freedom from, like, colonialism. and my perspective and feminine Filipino rage.
I love that. Exactly. Now I'm even more sad that I missed out. But
it was like part of the Quixotic show back in KPU.
Oh yeah. Okay. When was that?
It was back in April.
April. All right. Yeah. No. If there's footage online or if there are images online, I'm definitely gonna have to give it a look. But okay. So, you've spoken as a new media artist. You obviously have a lot of interest and cachet in generative AI models.
Of course.
And it's such a contentious topic at this point. I'm actually going to be speaking with a member of an arts council in Victoria. Are you familiar with Juan Ramirez?
Juan Ramirez? I never heard of her.
He's
no, wait, him.
He's like a software engineer who got really into generative AI models. Ooh. And he has like a very optimistic perspective on the potential from AI models as a force for good in the art realm. And it's kind of caused him to be viewed as a bit of a prodigal son. And I kind of want to know like what your like exact thoughts on AI as a tool are in creative work and maybe even outside. Like, can you give me a little bit of like a picture there?
Of like how
how do you kind of conceptualize AI in the art world?
Honestly, the way I see AI, it's kind of like a tool for creating like new meanings and like new, like let's say false histories as well. Mm. Like I've been in like this one archaeology class where we're talking about like AI generated content and like how it harms the archaeology world as well.
It really muddies a lot of
it's like, a really a muddy record. Territory itself. Mm. Actually, it's like you're basically dealing with like history that's already been made and like you're trying to like elaborate on it without any further evidence. It's kind of interesting if you think about it.
Yeah,
but like the way I see AI, it's like it's kind of like a neutral field for me because like it's still a new field, right?
Mm-hmm. And like relatively new. Yeah
I would love to like try to work out with like more AI stuff, but like thing is like sometimes it's just kind of like like you're walking on thin ice, like whether you're just gonna like literally post it straight up on Instagram and say it like, oh, this is art. Or like rather just like creating, or rather
yeah, like you need to put a disclaimer.
Exactly, you're supposed to just put a disclaimer without any crediting any other artist. But like for my type of like AI, I would like to see on like how like video generated AI, especially how it would like basically affect like the art world itself as well. Because when it comes to video AI generated art, it could create some interesting results as well, because there will be like new meanings and like new ideas that pop up as well.
Yeah, like I haven't really delved into the territory of videos beyond like the friggin' Will Smith eating spaghetti clip. And also I've seen more and more companies trying to incorporate that into their brand, like Marvel. I think they had a TV series where they had an AI generated intro. Seriously? For the opening credits. Yeah, I think it's Secret Invasion. Like, I didn't watch it, but I think it did stir up a lot of controversy. But it's something you just really can't escape. And I think at best, it's not to, like, stick your head in the sand and try and avoid as a creative, right? You need to be able to adapt. Exactly. The times, but you should also have like room to gatekeep, like that's kind of what you're saying,
it's
right?
Because like there's all I feel like there'll be more ethics around AI and like terms of art making, because I remember talking to this one friend that AI is literally just a tool to help you on like how to like develop your own ideas and like and to like flesh it out rather than just like using it as like a tool for like harmful means such as like literally stealing from like other artists as well.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like saying that it's your work. It's literally just patchworking anyways. Like I mean, we live in a remix culture, and like I feel like this like remixing culture has gone a bit too far, especially in the realms of AI.
Yes.
And it's like you're basically not even like remixing, you're basically plagiarizing as well.
Mm-hmm.
But like for in terms of like my work in like AI, it's I try to like generate it so heavily that no one would recognize the style, and I would like basically try to like post edit it to seem like it's basically like what you're seeing. It's literally AI itself.
Yeah, like that's one of the things I've seen AI use best. It's like a commentary on technology and its role in society. Like that's kind of what this Juan Ramirez guy I have been speaking with. That's kind of his perspective in that you can use it as a means to underline just how important like the individual creative is in the world of AI and in the world of new media, like they're still going to be the ones who they're going to be drawn from. They're going to be leading. They're going to be at the forefront. So I think if you're savvy, if you got your like finger on the pulse of new media, you shouldn't worry too much. Maybe that's kind of an understatement. I mean, I'm not, but like, yeah, no, there's a lot of gray area.
It is actually.
Anyways.
Actually.
Yeah. So you told me a little bit as additionally, you've been doing a lot of like
point cloud modeling. Renders, yes.
Point cloud. What is that?
Point cloud renders are basically like these renders where like every dot appears anyways from like a 3D model, and it kind of like generates this like cool effect as well.
Yeah, like so like every vertex has like a different image or
every vertex is connected as well, and like you turn them into like specks or like dots literally.
Oh, so it's kind of like pointillism, but
it's
like
almost like pointillism
age.
But like for our age, mm-hmm. as well, it's a very interesting concept. Like it has been used in like forensics, archaeology, and even starting to become more used in art as well, which I kind of find fascinating.
You give you some like big huge examples of like emergent works, emergent artists in that area that you've really been kind of tapped into? Or
honestly, I've been like really focused on like both like Ali Fee's work as well. Mm-hmm. And within like the forensics field as well, so like forensic architecture, they're like really good. I would say almost like a forensic art collective, because they really focus on like how like architecture could affect like a forensic scene, for example. It's a very interesting concept.
Okay, that's really neat.
It is.
Yeah, because like forensics is like one of the most like multidisciplinary fields.
It is a very multidisciplinary
field. And like as an anthropology student, you have done a lot of like work looking into that area.
Of course.
But also as an art student, and you, of course, you're mentioning like this cloud point. Point clouds models. Like, do you have any other specific examples you think that art and anthropology can coalesce, or art and forensic science can coalesce? If
I would say most of my work is starting to become turned to like a more anthropological perspective, because like I've been helping out with like the KPU's field school for like their artifacts as well, basically. So I've been like taking photos of them, like photo editing, and I would say it's a very, very interesting process to see how like art, like how anthropology or like any related anthropological field can correlate within like a visual arts perspective as well. And not to mention that some of us like anthropology students are we're a little weird, like to fine art students. Like, of course, we're all weirds at the end.
Yeah, I mean, like there was a person, the arts and entertainment coordinator here, they've since resigned. Mm-hmm. They're also an anthropology major, and they were giving me like this whole history lesson on like the role of clowns in modern society.
So exactly.
Like